before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word. I know that we've just sang, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And I pray that God will help all of us tonight as we've come, that we would truly do that, that we would turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's lift up our eyes under the hills from whence cometh our help, asking God to help us and bless us as we come together tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together in Thy house to try to worship Thee in the singing of songs, in prayer, and in the study of Thy holy word. We're thankful that we can lift up our voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're thankful that we're happy in our hearts and we rejoice in the goodness and mercy and grace of God and in the love of God that's shed abroad in our lives. Lord, we acknowledge that we're unworthy creatures, and yet Thou hast been so good to us all. We can't begin to count all the blessings that we have. We thank You for the food, clothing, and shelter, and all the natural blessings of life. Lord, we know that there have never been a people on the face of this earth that have experienced the luxuries and the pleasures that we're able to enjoy, to be able to stay cool in the hot, hot summer, and to be able to stay warm in the cold winter. And all the natural blessings that we have, the privilege of ease of transportation, and all the other natural blessings, we thank You, Lord, for them all. But we thank You above all those things for the privilege to be a part of Thy church and Thy kingdom in the earth, to be able to read and study Thy holy word, to be able to feel the presence of Thy Holy Spirit, that Thy Spirit would teach us and instruct us and show us the way. We're thankful that we have a great Savior, a Master, a King. We're thankful that we have an elder brother, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for coming into this world to save us from our sins. We're thankful that we know that You accomplished what You came to do, that You didn't try to save or offer to save, but You have saved Your people from their sins. We thank You, Lord, for redeeming a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, and for the privilege that we know that we are Your children, that we have been redeemed, that we're redeemed not with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of establishing Thy church and being a part of Thy church. We thank You for giving us Your word and Your church and being able to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank You for this church. Thank You for the love and the fellowship that we enjoy one with another. Thank You for a body of people that desire to follow the teachings of Thy holy word, and we pray that Thou would always show us the truth, Thou would guide us and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge that can come only from Thee. Thank You again for every member of the body and every friend and visitor that's come together to worship with us tonight. We thank You for the privilege that we have to not only know about the blessings of this world, but to know that we do have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, for there will be no more sorrow, sickness, pain, and death. We look forward to that time that we'll see Thee face to face and be able to give Thee the praise, honor, and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. Thank You again now for all the blessings, and we pray that You would bless all those who are less fortunate than we are. Bless those who are sick and afflicted, the aged and the infirm, and those who have lost loved ones, the families who are having trouble, and all of those with special burdens and problems. You know the needs of each one, not only those that are mentioned in the bulletin and audibly, but those that are on our hearts and minds that stand in great need of Thy help. We know that You're able to help, and we ask You in Your mercy and grace to bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. Feed us and instruct us, and may Thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground, may it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray in the name of our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read tonight from Job chapter 26. I encourage you to look in your Bibles at the book of Job. I'd like to read from the 26th chapter of Job. Most of you know that in the beginning of the book of Job, that Job began to be afflicted with all kinds of problems. God said to Satan, He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Isn't that wonderful that God would declare this is my servant. I wonder how many of us tonight that God could say, now there is my servant. That's what God said about Job. He said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan, of course, told him that you have a hedge around him and I can't touch him or anything he has. But if you'll remove that hedge, then he'll curse you. And so it is that there began to be all kinds of afflictions in Job's life. And his friends came, and at first, I think they did a remarkable job to come and to spend 7 days with Job, just sitting and working and praying and not saying a word. But then when they began to talk, they began to accuse Job that there must have been something terrible that you've done for all this trouble to come in your life. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at somebody that was having great trouble and thought, they must have really done something bad for all that trouble to come in their lives? And I know that God does bring trouble when we walk contrary to God's word, but that was not the case with Job, because the Bible says that Job was a man that feared God and shunned evil. Job was a man that loved God with all of his heart. There was not a man like him in the earth at that time. So Job's friends falsely accused him, and they falsely concluded, they wrongly concluded, that the reason he was having all of his trouble was because of sin in his life. In Job chapter 26, Job is responding to Bildad and telling Bildad, in fact, he's rather reproving Bildad and telling Bildad, who was one of his friends, that you are wrong in your accusations against me. I want to read now from Job chapter 26, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, but Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? He's saying, what good have you done me? Why did you come? What was the purpose of you coming here, and instead of you helping me and encouraging me, all you've done is continue to just browbeat and drive me further down into the ground. Verse 2, he says, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Is that an important question? How do you think Bildad felt when Job was saying, whose spirit came out of you? Where did you get all this wisdom that you have? Why do you think you know everything? Verse 5, he says, dead things, he begins to make some declarations, beginning in verse 5, Job makes some declarations to Bildad. He says, dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him. He's talking now about God. The rest of this chapter, he's going to be declaring the greatness of God and the sovereignty of God and the perfection of God. He says in verse 6, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Isn't that a marvelous thing about God? That God can just hang the earth on nothing. Verse 8, he says, he bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power. What's he referring back to there when he says he divideth the sea with his power? What's he referring back to? He's referring back to the Red Sea when the children of Israel had the Egyptian army behind them, and he talks about the power of God in dividing the sea there. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Even the snake was made by God. And then he says in verse 14, this is the main thing that's on my heart, He says, lo, these are parts of His ways. Has Job told everything about God in these verses that he's talked about the greatness and the sovereignty of God? Has he told everything? No, he just told a very small amount. And he says, lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him. But the thunder of His power, who can understand? I want us to think about the first half of verse 14, where Job makes this statement. He says, lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him. Job saying, I've talked to you a little bit about the sovereignty and the power and the glory of God. I've talked to you a little bit about what great things that God has done. I've talked to you about His ways, but He says, now I want you to understand that these are just parts of His ways. And then He says this, He says, but how little a portion is heard of Him. Is that true today? What was Job saying to Bildad? He was saying, to me, he was saying, God is great. God is mighty. God has done marvelous things. And he says, but how little a portion is heard of Him. In other words, there's a very small amount that the people know about God. Do you think that's true today, that we know very little about God? I think we can know a lot more about God than we do, but I'm talking about, I think that Job in his discourse here, he's telling Bildad, he's saying, there are very few people who know very much about God. And he's telling Bildad, in essence, you don't know very much about God. You don't understand God. God is more powerful than you realize. God is greater than you realize. How little a portion of God is understood by man. You know, when the Word of God talks about Jesus in His life here on this earth, in the closing of the book of John, John records these words. He says that if everything Jesus had done, he says, now I've written to you about a lot of things Jesus had done, but if everything Jesus had done was written in books, the world could not contain all the books about the great things that Jesus has done. In other words, I haven't even skimmed the surface in telling you about Jesus. I haven't even begun to really tell you all about what great things God has done. And that's what Job is saying to Bildad right here. He's saying, lo, these are parts of His ways. I've told you part of His ways. You know, I think every one of us ought to talk more about the ways of God. Talk more about the sovereignty of God. Talk more about the wisdom of God. Talk more about the power of God. But I cannot speak truth about God without studying God's holy word. The only way that I can tell you more about Jesus, sometimes we sing that song, more about Jesus I would know. More of His grace to others show. I can't tell you more about Jesus. I can't talk more about Jesus. I can't tell you more about His works, and I can't tell you more about His ways without studying the Word of God. Now again, I'm declaring to you that the Bible doesn't tell us everything about God. The Bible doesn't tell us everything about Jesus. But the Bible tells us everything we need to know about God and everything we need to know about Jesus. But we don't know enough about His ways and His works. And I think that's what Job is saying here. He's saying, lo, these are parts of His ways. I've told you part of what God does, but how little a portion is heard of Him. Very few people hear very much about God. Now, I felt somewhat led this afternoon to preach from 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 2, where it talks about that God is chosen, and it talks three times in about verse 12, I believe. How about how God has chosen the weak things and the foolish things? And three times there it talks about how God has chosen weak things and foolish things to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, God has chosen. That's a statement that's made three times there. God has chosen people, hasn't He? Did you know very few people know about the truth of election as it's taught in God's holy word? God has chosen. Do you know why Abraham was the father of many nations? Was it that Abraham chose God, or was it that God chose Abraham? Did you know that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt? Was it that Moses volunteered and chose God, or was it that God reached down and chose Moses? And all through the Scriptures, every time you read about a great man of God, was it the man who chose God, or was it God who chose the man? It was God who reached down and chose the man. I would ask each of you tonight, is it you that chose God, or is it God who chose you? If you're born of the Spirit of God and you love God and you're a part of the church of God, did you get there because you made a decision, or because God, in His infinite mercy, chose you before the foundation of the world? You see God doing choosing, and the question I'm asking you is, there are very few people who know the truth of God's election. Isn't that true? And Jesus said to His apostles on one occasion, He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And the Word of God says that we love Him because He first loved us. We have things backwards in our society today, and we want to give glory to man, and all glory goes to God. And what Job is saying here, you don't understand, Bildad. You don't understand that all glory goes to God, because very few people know very much about the truth of God. And that's the way it is today in our land. There are very few people who know very much about the truth of God. And I would say that even us in this congregation, though God has blessed us to know much truth, I would still say we know very little. If you take the totality of God, if you take Him in all of His ways, though we know many of His ways, I would have to declare to you that I don't know much about God. And I would have to declare to you His ways are past finding out. God's greater than you and I can comprehend. He's not a little God. He's a great God. He is the only true and living God. And He's sovereign in every way. And not knowing the sovereignty of God causes people to question what God's Word says. They'll argue with God. They'll read about Jacob. God says, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And then the question that God inspired Paul to write there is, what shall we say then to these things? Listen, brethren, is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unrighteous to have chosen a people before the foundation of the world? Is He unrighteous to have chosen Abraham for the work He chose him for? Is He unrighteous to have chosen Moses? Is He unrighteous to have chosen some and not chosen others? Brethren, you need to know and understand and believe that God is perfect and holy and righteous in everything He does. And very few people. That's what Job is saying here. You know, he says, "Lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him." How little a portion is heard of God. Election and predestination and salvation by grace. Those are just a few of the things, but those are some of the things that very few people know very much about God. But they're truth, and they're in God's Word, and they can't be denied. And one of the reasons that very little is heard by other people is because the people of God who know the truth haven't been faithful to talk to others about the truth in God's Word. We need to learn what God's Word says. We need to be so well grounded in what the truth is about God that we have no qualms about talking to anyone about God and the truth of His Word. That takes a lot of study. Takes a lot of preparation. Because when you start to talk about the greatness of God and the sovereignty of God, and you talk about the perfection and the holiness of God, and you talk about the ways of God. Listen, brethren, sometimes people write books about the way of salvation and talk about the Roman road to salvation, and they talk about all of the kinds, about the way to get saved and how to be born again. Listen, brethren, all those are false teachings. We need to understand the truth of God's Word, and we need to be able to teach the truth of God's Word. And what's the question, what's the statement Job makes here? "Lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him." Well, we hear a lot about men and how great men are, and that God wants to do something if you'll just let Him. Have you ever heard of a doctrine such as that? Jesus wants to save you. He's trying to save you. And if you'll just let Him, I'll tell you, that's not the Jesus of this Bible. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus does. Listen, brethren, God says that He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God does as He pleases. God spoke this world into existence. What's the text say? It says, lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him. Do you know why the schools deny that God created the heavens and the earth? It's because the public school system has been taken over by Satan. And you and I cannot continue to be a part of a satanic force that's undermining every truth in God's holy word. God created the heavens and the earth. God spoke this world into existence. Is that a great work of God?
Amen.
Marvelous work. Marvelous work. Amen. He not only created this world, you know who's going to bring it to a close? It's not going to be some nation or some dictator. Listen, brethren, the Word of God says that God has declared the end. Who has declared the end? God has declared the end from the beginning. Now, who is it that started all things? It's God. And He's declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Now, that's the sovereignty of God. He does as He pleases. And He's right in everything He does. And there's nothing unjust about our God. And He's pure and holy in every way. He's all powerful. But how little, what a small portion is heard of Him. I thank God for the radio ministry. I thank God for the Trumpet of Truth ministry. You know what we're trying to do in those ministries, as well as other ministries, as well as us personally going out? We're trying to talk more and more about the greatness of God. Tell people about how great God is and tell people about how weak we are. We're weak and undone creatures. We're frail creatures. We need God's help. We can't function without God. We turn our backs on God, God will squash us. He'll bring us down to nothing. But if we will honor Him, we'll humble ourselves before the sovereign God of heaven and earth, He'll lift us up. If we'll talk of His wondrous ways, if we'll talk about how great God is, instead of talking about how great we are and talking about our accomplishments, talk about His ways. He says, lo, these are parts of His ways. You know, Job did a good job here talking about part of His ways. Oh, He hung the earth on nothing. And all these other things He says about the greatness of the power of God. He says, lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him. Would you admit that you haven't told enough people about how great God is? How little a portion. You know, that's kind of a condemnation on every one of us. How little a portion is heard of Him, isn't it? We haven't talked enough about how great God is. We haven't told enough people about how great God is. We haven't declared enough about the sovereignty of God, the holiness and perfection of God. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans. Turn in your Bibles very quickly to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I want you to notice beginning in verse 33. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Listen to what God says. This is what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write. Here's what Paul wrote. Now, this is what he felt, too, by the way. Some people have the idea that these men that wrote these words, that they just were like puppets. Listen, brethren, these were from Paul's heart as well as being inspired by God. He felt what he was writing. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33, here's what Paul says. Romans 11, starting in verse 33, he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You see what he's saying right there? How deep is it? Just how far down can you go? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How much does God know about you, by the way? How much does God know about you? You know, sometimes I get in kind of just a mode of doing things, and I don't always know why I'm doing them, but God knows why I'm doing everything I'm doing. God knows, the Bible says, and I believe this with all my heart. You don't have to believe it, but it's true. God knows how many hairs are on my head. Did you know it? They may come and go every day, but listen, God knows the numbers of hairs on my head. There's never a sparrow that falls down, never one sparrow, not one bird that falls to the ground that God doesn't know what's going on. Every problem you have, God knows your problems right now. Every heartache you have, God knows about those heartaches. Everything you're concerned about, the Bible says Jesus is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus cares about you. And Jesus is the only one that's able to help you with all your troubles and problems. But Jesus is able, and He does care. Does Jesus care? Oh, that songwriter knew. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Now, brethren, we need to know more about His ways. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Listen, He says in verse 33, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You get that expression that He uses in the last part of verse 33? He says, God's ways are past finding out. You see that? Do you remember what Job said? He says, lo, these are parts of His ways. Now, what does Paul say here? He says, His ways are past finding out. You cannot understand all of God's ways. God does things, I don't know why He does them, but God does everything right. You don't understand everything that happens. There's not a human on this earth that can understand God. In fact, the Bible says, who hath known the mind of the Lord? You can't figure out God and understand all that God does. His ways are past finding out. What does Job say? These are just parts of His ways. You read and understand everything there is in the Bible about God, you know what the bottom line is? You'll have to still say, just like Job, well, these are just parts of His ways. His ways are past finding out. That's what He's saying over there in Romans 11. His ways are past finding out. Listen, in verse 34, Romans 11, 34, He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? There it is. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? You know what God's thinking right now? Who has known the mind of the Lord? You know what God's going to do tomorrow? You know what God's going to do tomorrow? You know when God's going to bring the world to an end? Do you know what God's going to do? The only thing you can ever say about what God's going to do is what God's told you in His Word He's going to do, and He hasn't always told you when it's going to happen, but He told you it will happen. You better be careful about anybody that says they know when the world's coming to an end or they know when God's going to do this, that, and the other. God does when He pleases, as He pleases. It's His timetable, not mine and yours. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Has anybody ever counseled God? Poor little God doesn't know what to do. You know, does it ever upset you when people talk about God is just so frustrated and He just doesn't know what to do? You get a picture of God sometimes when you listen to people talk that He's just wringing His hands and He's so upset and He just doesn't know what to do about all the problems that are going on in the world and He's just so upset. Oh, He just doesn't know what to do. Oh, that's not the God of the Bible. There's nothing that's going on right now that God doesn't know all about it. And He's known from before the foundation of the world, everything that's going on. And He's got it all under control, by the way. And He's going to carry out judgments on every single one of His people. And on the unregenerate, He's going to carry out judgments on them too. He says in verse 35, who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. In other words, how many of you have ever given to God, and then God's going to give back to you? Is that the way it is? Or did God give to you, and then you return a portion to Him? He says, for of Him, listen to verse 36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. What's He saying? We need to be giving God glory. Why? Because when we begin to look and read the Word of God and we see about the ways of God and we see that His ways are past finding out and we see the unsearchable riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God and the love of God and we think about how the love of God is shed abroad in our lives, what do you want to do when you think about how good God's been to you? What do you want to do?
You want to praise Him. You want to serve Him. You want to honor Him because God has been so good to us. What does God know about you? He knows everything about you. That's right. He knows your thoughts afar off. You know, I don't know what I'm going to be thinking about tomorrow. God knows what I'm going to think about the last day I'm on this earth. God knows what I'm going to think about that day. I couldn't tell you everything I thought about today, but God can tell you. He knows everything. He knows the thoughts. The Bible says, excuse me, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, it says that God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that amazing? God knows the thoughts and the... Now, does everybody know that? What does Job say over there in Job chapter 26, verse 14? He says, lo, these are parts of His ways. How little is heard about His ways. Hebrews chapter 10 says it is a fearful thing. Well, first of all, it says in Hebrews 10:30 that God shall judge His people. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Did you know a lot of people don't know that about God? There are a lot of people in America that do not know. In fact, they'll say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. Listen, please, all you pay attention. Don't be cutting up in church, okay? God knows what's going on in our lives. And God's going to judge every one of us according to our works. Every one of us. Every idle word, He's going to judge. Every idle word that we say. Everything we do that's wrong, He's going to judge us for that. Yeah. And sometimes people say, oh, you're talking about the God of the Old Testament. I serve the God of the New Testament. Brethren, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything that was an abomination to God 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, everything that was wrong then is still wrong today. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by the sovereign God of heaven and earth because of the homosexuality in those cities. And God will destroy any city and any nation that condones and allows homosexuality, and our nation is in serious trouble because of the way we've turned our back on God, God's Word, and God's ways, and the things that God's Word says are an abomination unto Him, they're accepted in our society, in our world today. What does that tell me? It tells me God's about to judge our nation in a severe way. It is a fearful thing to fall into the... That's New Testament now, Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a... He was a consuming fire. Is that what it says? Hebrews 12:29. Our God was a consuming fire back in the Old Testament. Thank you, Brother Dalton. I'll tell you, that little boy is listening. He's listening. Our God is a consuming fire. He still is. He's a consuming fire. Lo, these are parts of His ways. And how little a portion is heard of Him. You know what we need to hear more of? We need to hear more about God. More about His Word. You remember when the Queen of Sheba, and all I've done is scratch the surface, and I think Brother Philip or somebody quoted it this earlier. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 7, 6 and 7, it talks about the Queen of Sheba going to see Solomon and his all of his wisdom and his power and his glory and his temple and all that. Do you remember what the Queen of Sheba said? She said, oh, I've heard about how great He is. I've heard about how wise Solomon is. But the half has not been told. Now, she was just talking about a puny man who had been blessed by God with some riches and wisdom. Now, if the Queen of Sheba could look at Solomon and his temple and his kingdom and say the half has not been told, you know what every one of us will say every time we get a true glimpse of Jesus in His kingdom and His glory? We'll say, I don't know whether I'd say the half. I'd say, we haven't even begun to talk about and see the greatness, the majesty, and the glory of God. May God help us to remember, lo, these are parts of His ways. These are parts of His ways. And how little a portion is heard of Him even among God's people. Now, what I want you to do and me to do, your children ought to know everything there is in God's Word. Did you know that? Your children ought to be able to say, I ought to be able to say to any of your children, just say somebody's name in the Bible and then be able to tell me, well, okay, I'll tell you about that. Are you teaching your children His ways? God's ways. Are you teaching them about the greatness of God? Are you teaching them about election and predestination and salvation by grace? Are you teaching them about the judgments of God? Are you teaching them all of His ways or part of His ways? Lo, these are part of His ways, and how little a portion is heard of Him. May God help us to change so that much is heard of Him and less is heard of us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.